We're all familiar, I trust, with the tendency to lower our expectations in order to avoid disappointment. Better, we say to ourselves, to be pleasantly surprised when low expectations are met or exceeded, the argument goes, than repeatedly disappointed when high expectations are not. I want to share a reading from Ross Gay. We've shared this at least once before. Recommend highly this book, The Book of Delights. But I want to share just a short story from him. Picture him in a small Midwestern town in a coffee shop. He's visiting, right? So he's just doing some work on his computer as a visiting professor. And so he writes, I settled in. Ross Gay is a Black man, right? So much of this book is writing about his experience as a Black man in the United States and the experience of finding joy even in unexpected places. So he writes, and while I was working, headphones on, swaying to the new De La Soul record, Delight, which deserves its own entry, I noticed a white girl. She looked 15, but could have been, I suppose, a college student, standing next to me with her hand raised. I looked up confused, pulled my headphones back, and she said, like a coach or something, working on your paper? Good job to you, high five. And you better believe I high-fived that child in her pre-ripped Def Leppard shirt and her itty-bitty Doc Martens. For I delight in unequivocally pleasant public physical interactions with strangers. What constitutes pleasant, it's no secret, is informed by my largish male and cisgender body, a body that is also largest male, cisgender, and not white. In other words, the pleasant, the delightful are not universal. We should all understand this by now. It is indeed a pleasure, a delight, a gift when our low expectations are met or exceeded, when we are surprised, when we are caught off guard. In fact, one of the ways we can individually and collectively raise the bar on expectations is by doing things that are unexpected. But as Gay's story also makes clear, lowering our expectations is an understandable and even necessary survival instinct, one born of too many experiences of failure and disappointment, even hurt and harm. We've already this Advent season lit the candles representing hope and peace, and this morning we added the candle of joy. Next week it's love. Hope, of course, is expectation's synonym. So is trust, so is possibility, so is promise. These are Advent words. Hope, if you will, is trusting the possibility that light will come in the darkness, that is where it seems impossible, where we are at least likely, where we are least likely to expect it. And trusting the promise that the darkness will not overcome it. That's Advent. As faith unlocks the door, hope opens it to the possibility and promise of peace and joy and love. When we find ourselves in darkness or find the world in darkness repeatedly, continually, it is a very human tendency to lower our expectations that light, peace, joy, love will find their way in. Consciously or not, we allow hope to fade. We give up at least a little bit. We let the door close, or we just close it ourselves. We may or may not keep ourselves open to the possibility of being pleasantly surprised. And while we may believe that we are protecting ourselves from inevitable disappointment, ultimately, effectively, we are just normalizing disappointment. Disappointment is the expectation. Surprise or light, if you will, becomes less and less likely the less we invest in it ourselves. I know this to be true in relationships. Maybe you do too. I've had many, my share of relationships, personal and professional relationships, where I have lowered my expectations of someone else, consciously or not, for one reason or another. Again, better to be pleasantly surprised than perpetually disappointed or hurt. And so I act accordingly. I may distance myself. I may pull back from asking as much or anything of someone else because I don't think they're capable. I don't think they'll deliver. I don't think they'll follow through. Why bother? What's the point? I know what's going to happen. Or I may hesitate to speak my truth, to risk vulnerability or conflict with someone else because I'm too angry or too afraid. Or I convince myself that they can't handle my truth. Or maybe that they aren't self-aware enough or whatever to hear it, to receive it. Things won't go the way I want, I'm sure of it. I sell them short. I make my prediction of the future, but in so doing, end up fulfilling my own prophecy. I guarantee the outcome. Without vision, Proverbs reminds us, the people perish. I guarantee the outcome. There are, we know, countless ways we people lower our expectations, all of us in relationships and otherwise. And please, please understand that I'm not suggesting here that there's never a need in our day-to-day lives to manage expectations of each other or ourselves. Sometimes we do get burned and need to step back. Sometimes survival is all we can manage. We have a right and a need to pick our battles. But the call and pull of Advent, I believe, is to err on the side of risking disappointment by raising expectations, living into the promise and possibility of those expectations in our lives and in the world around us. And so raising the likelihood that those expectations will be met and even exceeded. Francis comes to mind. Those of you who were at his memorial service or just know Francis know that he worked for decades at the Gables. And part of what he did was clean up the neighborhood, picked up trash. Teresa shared during the memorial service, not just at the Gables, but in the block surrounding. And you can imagine, right, Francis, I mean, anybody who's had that experience of picking up trash in the city neighborhood, you're thinking to yourself, like, your expectations are, I'm probably just gonna be back the next day doing it again, right? So you could beat your head against the wall. You could just give up and say, you know what? Why bother, right? I've lowered my expectations. Somebody else is gonna throw trash on the street. I'm just gonna keep doing this over and over again. But I love that image of Francis, like, day after day after day, right? And this was part of his job, but this was like above and beyond his actual job at the Gables. This is something he loved. This is something he cared about. This was a vision of a clean neighborhood, that everybody deserves to live in a clean neighborhood, right? And so I appreciate that, that image, that vision of living into a higher expectation, even when you're probably gonna just have to do it again tomorrow. That's what hope is, right? That's what hope does. That's why hope is so important for us and for the world. In Jane Austen's classic novel, you won't hear me reference Jane Austen probably ever again. I'm not a fan. But in her classic novel, Sense and Sensibility, one of the three sisters, Eleanor, if you're familiar with the story, at one point observes that for her sister and mother, to wish was to hope, and to hope was to expect. To wish was to hope, and to hope was to expect. And just in case you're now impressed with my extensive literary knowledge, as you may have been last week with my extensive historical knowledge, I also had to look that up. Just saying. To wish was to hope, and to hope was to expect. Today's scripture text, as Amy just shared with us, are about hope and expectations, about managing, reorienting, raising expectations. The gospel text for Matthew keeps the focus on John the Baptist, one of our J's from last week's sermon, if you were here. This time he's in prison. No need to go into why, only to note that he's apparently starting to wonder himself whether Jesus is in fact the one that John believes him to be, the one who is to come, the one for whom John had been preparing the way. So John sends his own disciples out to ask Jesus if he's the one, or if they should wait for someone else, if they should expect someone else. Manage your expectations is basically what I hear Jesus saying in response. Believe what you will, but make sure you are looking for and listening for this: the blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, the lepers cleansed, the deaf hearing, the dead raised, the poor receiving good news. If you're not, you're looking for the wrong signs and you're listening to the wrong voices. Expect the unexpected, Jesus says. And then Jesus goes on speaking to the crowds about their expectations of John. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? What did you expect? I should probably just take this out, right? A reed shaken by the wind? Did you sell John the Baptist short? Did you lower your expectations of him? And what then did you go out to see? Jesus asked. Again, what did you expect? Someone dressed in soft robes? Did you sell John short? Did you lower your expectations because you assumed that he, like me, should be dressed like royalty? Could only be royalty? Did you assume that prophecy, that anything worth hearing, could only come from high places? Manage your expectations, reorient your expectations, raise your expectations, prophecy. Good news, light in the midst of darkness comes in and from and to unexpected places and people, even the places and people you might least expect. Expect the unexpected, Jesus says. Get used to it. Which brings us to the text from Isaiah, picking up where the prophet left off the last two Sundays in our readings, peace-filled visions of swords beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, visions of wolves living with lambs and calves and lions lying down together, and a little child leading the way. Expect the unexpected. This time we get joy-filled visions, visions of water in dry places, in fact, the driest places, where you'd least expect to find water. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. And then echoing Jesus, or rather Jesus echoing Isaiah, the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. God, hear my prayer. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams. Picture it, streams in the desert of all places. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground. Springs of water. Expect the unexpected. There is joy to be found in what we know and expect, but there is even more joy to be found in what we don't. It is easy living in the world as it is, looking at the world around us as it is, to dismiss such visions as fantasy, as wishful thinking. It is easy, even understandable, to lower our expectations of what is promised and what is possible. in our lives, in our relationships, and certainly in the world around us, broken as it is. It's easy to sit back and wait for the increasingly unlikely, or even distance ourselves from it. Maybe holding on to the off chance that we might be pleasantly surprised. But consider what it might be like, what it would be like, what it would look like, what it would feel like to raise our expectations instead, to step up and move toward the unlikely, to engage it rather than dismiss it, risking disappointment to be sure, but leaning into hope, reigniting the divine imagination, and so opening the door to both the promise and possibility of peace that turns swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, to joy that breaks forth like water in the wilderness, like streams in the desert, to love that casts out fear and makes the blind to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear and the dead to live again, to love that releases the captives and feeds the hungry, love that is indeed good news for the poor and most vulnerable among us. Love, as Paul puts it, that never ends. This, friends, is the call and the pull of Advent. Advent waiting is active, expectant waiting. It's about living and loving not into the world as it is, or to the world our lowered, realistic expectations suggest is actually possible. But with hope and raised expectations, it's about living and loving into the world we actually want. As Rabbi Michael Lerner often says, the world we trust that God intends and desires for all of us. Living and loving not into this present darkness, but into the perpetual possibility of light, trusting the divine promise that the darkness will never, ever overcome it. To wish is to hope, and to hope is to expect. Expect the unexpected. May it be so.